Good afternoon. We'd like to welcome you to the July 14, 2021 meeting of the Savannah Historic District Board of Review. The purpose of this board is to promote the educational, cultural, economic, and general welfare of the city of Savannah. This board is appointed by city council and is not affiliated with any for-profit and nonprofit organization. Preservation standards, visual compatibility factors, and design standards established in the City of Savannah zoning ordinance are the basis for evaluating the compatibility of changes and new development. Excuse me. The board cannot consider criteria not specifically identified within the ordinance. Items such as landscaping, parking availability, traffic, noise, and impact on property values are not within the board's purview and cannot be a factor in the issuance or denial of a certificate of appropriateness. Similarly, personal preferences will not be the basis for a decision. At this time, just general housekeeping, if you are on, if you have the capability of speaking, we ask that your microphones are muted so that we can keep the lines clear to capture the record. Okay. Move on to the next item on the agenda, and that is the signposting. Members of the board receive packages containing applications in the week before the meeting and individually visit the sites of the project. If a project is not properly posted, it is removed from the agenda and rescheduled. Were there any projects that were not posted this month? Okay, hearing none, we'll now move on to the consent agenda. And these items have been found by the preservation office to be in accordance with the preservation standards, visual compatibility factors, and design standards, and have apparent consensus with no known objections. I'll go on to read the items that are on the consent agenda, and then we will see if the public has, there's any member of the public or on the board that would like to remove any items from the consent agenda to the regular. So item number two, the petition of Tim Kinsey, petition number 21-003-307-COA at 14 East Broughton Street, amendment to previous COA. Item number three, petition of Coastal Restoration, Charlie Brinson, petition number 21-003-526-COA at 100 West Liberty Lane, alterations. Item number four, petition of Michael and Beth Johnson, petition number 21-003-543 at 229 Houston Street, alterations. Item number five, petition of Keith Howington, petition number 21-003-554-COA at 118 West Gaston Street, porch and elevator addition. Item number six, petition of Thane Schreyer, AIA, and that is petition number 21-003-559-COA at 301 East Fulton Street, alterations and addition. Then there is item number seven, and that is petition of Hortdorfer Architects, and that petition number 21-003-562-COA at 7 Martin Luther King Jr. Boulevard, amendments. That concludes the consent agenda. Are there any members of the public or board members who wishes to remove an item from the consent agenda to the regular agenda? Okay. Hearing none, we will now entertain a motion to approve the consent agenda. All right, got a motion made by Mr. Bodick, and can we get you for that second, Ms. Isaacs?
Yeah, I'll second.
All right, thank you. Motion's made and seconded, made by Mr. Bodick and seconded by Ms. Isaacs for approval of the consent agenda. We'll just do a voice vote on this one. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Any opposed?
Aye.
Any opposed? Okay. The motion carries and the consent agenda is approved. Next item on the agenda is the adoption of the agenda. Is there a motion to approve the agenda?
This is Ellie, so moved.
Thank you, Ms. Isaacs.
I second.
Thank you, Ms. Memory. So motion made by Ms. Isaacs and seconded by Ms. Memory to approve the agenda. We'll do a voice vote. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
You, any opposed? None, thank you. So the motion carries and the agenda is approved. We'll go on to the approval of the minutes. Minutes from the previous meeting are attached to the agenda. Is there a motion to approve the June 9th meeting minutes?
So moved.
Who's that?
Mr. Bodek.
Thank you, Mr. Bodek. Is there a second?
This is Ellie.
Thank you, Ms. Isaacs. Motion made by Mr. Bodek and seconded by Ms. Isaacs to approve the June 9th meeting minute. We'll do a voice vote. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? All right, motion carries and the June 9th meeting minutes are approved. So move on to the items requested to be removed from the final agenda. There are none listed. So then we'll move into the continued agenda. These applications have been requested to be continued to the following meeting. I'll read these for the record. Item number 10, petition of GM Shea Architecture, petition number 21-000792-COA at 618 Montgomery Street, new construction, part two, design details. Item number 11, petition of Sotil and Sotil, Christian Sotil, petition number 20-005-548-COA at 336 Barnard Street, new construction, part two, design details. And item number 12, petition of David Thompson Architect, petition number 21-003-551-COA at 215 East Congress Street, alterations and additions. Is there a motion to continue the items on the continued agenda?
This is Ellie, so moved.
Thank you, Ms. Isaacs. Is there a second?
Mr. Bodek, I'll second.
Thank you, Mr. Bodek.
Sam, who will second?
We got it this time, Mr. Who. Thanks, though. All right, we're gonna, again, just for the sake of time and keeping things moving smoothly, we'll take a voice vote on this one as well. So all in favor?
Aye.
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 Thank you. Any opposed? All right. Hearing none, the motion carries and the continued agenda is approved. Now we move on to requests for the extensions. There are none listed. So now we'll move into the regular agenda. Staff will present the application with the recommendation. The petitioner will then have the opportunity to respond to the recommendations. We ask that the petitioner limit their presentation to 10 minutes or less and only address items identified as inconsistent with the ordinance and questions raised by the board. The public will then have the opportunity to comment, after which the petitioner may respond to public comments. The board will then go into board discussion, at which point no further testimony is received unless specifically requested of and granted by the chairman. We will structure board discussion by going around to each board member two times for comment. If you do not have any comments to provide, you don't have to submit any comments. Pardon that stumble there. Again, we ask that just for clarity of the line and being able to capture the record, make sure everybody that your microphones are muted when you aren't speaking. When you're called upon to speak, please unmute your microphone, state your name for the record, and then submit your comment. For the public, if you would follow those same instructions, if you would like to submit a comment as a member of the public, there's a raise your hand feature in the control panel. At that time, your name will be submitted. You'll be called upon, and then we ask that you unmute, submit your comments, 3 minutes or less, and then mute your phones again. All right, thank you. So we'll call on the first petition, and that is the petition of Lynch Associate Architects, Elizabeth Schminke, petition number 21-003566-COA at 103 East Broughton Street, rehabilitation and alterations.
Thank you, Mr. Truman. I just want to make sure everyone is seeing my screen.
Yes, ma'am.
All right, thank you. Okay, so good afternoon. This is Aslan Drosky, and I will be presenting the petition for the rehabilitation of and alterations to the property located at 103 East Broughton Street, also known as the Levy Building. For this presentation, I will be going through each proposed alteration at one at a time, and then referencing the history of the building, the proposed alterations, and staff's recommendation and findings. So first, the applicant is proposing to replace the existing primary Broughton Street storefront with a painted wood storefront featuring two panes of glass on either side of a new full glass stained wood double door. The attached storefronts on the Drayton Street side are also to be replaced with painted wood, with each featuring three panes of fixed glass. Three new fabric awnings are proposed as well, with one over each storefront. So the primary storefront and attached storefronts located on Drayton Street have gone through several alterations throughout the history of this building. The first major alteration removed this black terrazzo tile and white paneling seen here and replaced it with wood, as can be seen here, and is also currently existing. The primary storefront was then further altered when the recess of the entryway was decreased and the glass storefront was enclosed with wood to install these display boxes. Staff finds that the existing storefront is non-historic and that the proposed replacement storefront is visually compatible and historically appropriate. The secondary storefront, which is facing Drayton Street, located here, is proposed to be replaced with a new painted wood storefront as well. While the secondary storefront has gone through similar alterations to the one on the front, it has maintained this configuration of an angled three-panel glass on the storefront. Staff has determined that this is a historic and distinctive feature of this building. As you can see here, this is proposed to be maintained with the installation of the new storefront, which will be on either side of a new full light single wood door. Staff finds that the replacement secondary storefront is historically appropriate and visually compatible. With regards to the materials and colors proposed for these storefronts, staff is requesting that the color for the fabric awnings, as well as the paint color for the wood storefront, be provided to staff for final review and approval, as they were not indicated within the materials list. Additionally, as you can see here, there is signage proposed for above all storefronts. This was not provided as part of this review, so staff is just requesting that there be a separate COA application submitted for the proposed signage. Staff finds that otherwise the materials and colors proposed for these alterations are visually compatible and meet the standards. With regards to the window openings on the second floor of the front and side facades seen here, the applicant is proposing to replace these existing non-historic metal windows with new wood windows, which consist of a fixed transom over two operable casement windows. Until the existing non-historic metal windows were placed in these openings, the building featured the original windows, which contained a paired three-light transom over a 12-light window, as can be seen in these photographs. Staff is recommending that the replacement windows on the second floor of the front and side facade feature this historic configuration. The materials and colors proposed for these windows, however, are otherwise visually compatible and meet the standards. With regards to the four windows on the first floor of the Drayton Street facade, the applicant is proposing to replace three of the four non-historic metal windows with new fixed wood windows in the existing openings. The fourth opening, seen here, is proposed to be elongated in order to accommodate a new door opening. A new metal canopy is proposed to be installed above the new door and adjacent window on the bottom row. Based on photographs dating back to 1938, when this building was first constructed, staff has determined that the existing openings in this location are historic and original features of the property. As you can see here in a subsequent photo, while the windows have been replaced with non-historic metal fixed windows, the opening themselves have not been altered. So staff finds that the removal of brick below this window and alteration of the opening would alter a distinctive feature of the property and does not meet the preservation standards. Therefore, staff is recommending maintaining the existing configuration of the windows on the Drayton Street facade. In consideration of this recommendation, staff also finds that a metal canopy in this location is not visually compatible and recommends that it be removed. With regards to the openings on East Broughton Lane, the applicant is proposing to remove all existing infill as well as the existing fire stair, which are non-historic elements on the lane. While sandborne maps indicate the presence of several of the openings on the lane, there's little evidence as to what alterations occurred on this lane facade. Currently, there are a total of 14 openings on the lane, almost all of which are currently infilled. On the bottom row of openings, one opening is to be altered to install a metal door over which a metal canopy is to be installed. The existing elevator door is to be replaced with a new metal door. The remaining openings on this row are proposed to be re-infilled with stucco. The infill in the openings on the middle row is proposed to be removed, and new fixed wood windows are to be installed in the openings. On the top, not sure what that was, but on the top row of openings, an existing metal door and metal panel are to be removed, and the opening is to be restored to match those adjacent, the pre-existing outline for which is visible in the surrounding brick. The windows are then all to be infilled with new wood windows, which feature a fixed transom over an operable casement window. The infill on this adjacent opening here, located on the elevator shaft, is to be replaced with new stucco infill as well. So while staff finds the infill of the opening on the elevator shaft to be appropriate, the new infill proposed for the openings in the bottom row does not meet the standards which require that all openings contain a window or door. Staff recommends that the three openings on the bottom row of the lane facade are infilled with windows rather than stucco. Additionally, staff recommends that the windows proposed for the top row of the lane facade are replaced with 1/1 double hung windows. Staff finds that historically, windows facing a lane would be of a double hung configuration and would not feature a transom. Staff has no other concerns regarding the alterations proposed for the lane facade of the building. So with that, staff is recommending approval of the rehabilitation of and alterations to the property located at 103 East Broughton Street, also known as the Levy Building, with the following conditions to be submitted to staff for final review and approval, because the work is otherwise visually compatible and meets the standards. That is, one, maintain the existing configuration of the four square accent windows on the Drayton Street facade and remove the proposed metal canopy. Two, revise the replacement windows on the second floor of the front and side facades to feature the historic configuration of the paired three light transom over a 12 light window. Three, revise the replacement windows on the top row of the lane facade to be 1/1 double hung windows. Four, infill the three openings on the bottom row of the lane facade with windows rather than stucco. Five, provide the paint color for the wood storefronts. Six, provide the color selection for the fabric awnings. And 7, submit a separate COA application for signage. Thank you, and I would happy to be take any questions from the board.
Thank you. Any questions for staff? Okay, hearing none, we're not hearing from the petitioner. Please state your name for the record.
Hi, this is Elizabeth Schminke with Lynch Associates. Can you hear me?
Yes, we can. Yeah. Sorry, I was trying to unmute. Sorry, we can hear you.
Thank you. I'm just going to wait for Aslan to pull up. I have a few additional images I wanted to walk through. Great. Thank you, Aslan. Thank you to the staff for their review and recommendation for approval of this project. We also appreciate the Historic Savannah Foundation's time in meeting with us to discuss the project. We have a few items that we would like to work through with the board to help us reactivate this building by restoring its viability and returning it to use. As you may know, owned by Lowell Kronowitz, this building has been in the Levy family since its construction in 1938. It's intended to remain owned by that same local Savannah family. What you might not know, though, is that it was specifically constructed to function as a single tenant, with retail on that ground floor, a manager's office at the mezzanine, and additional employee offices on the second floor. The building arrangement was atypical in the early 20th century and is very unusual today. You also might not know that it has remained unleased since Levy Jewelers moved to their new location at the corner of Bull and Broughton Streets in 2012. For nearly a decade, the owners have tried to lease the building to a single tenant, as that is the only way this building can be used per code under its current configuration. What we are looking to achieve is a consistent and typical use pattern seen throughout the Broughton Street business corridor. With a mercantile space located at the ground and mezzanine levels, with storage in the basement and residential units at the second floor. In order to achieve this predominant building pattern, we need to meet modern building code requirements for fire and life safety, as well as security. As this building was constructed for a single tenant, the design does not include the same accommodations as it would have in a more traditional multi-use building. We're looking for the board's assistance and guidance for this proposed rehabilitation to ensure its continued use. With this information in mind, I'd like to walk through some of the conditions recommended by staff for approval. So on this page that you see before you, the first item was maintain the existing configuration of the 4 square accent windows at the Drayton Street facade and remove the proposed metal balcony. As I mentioned before, it is our intention to reactivate the building by providing mercantile on the ground floor with residential above. With this typical use pattern, we have to provide multiple means of egress for all uses, including a service entrance to enable the tenants to their store. Oh, including a service entrance at that rear portion of the building that we talked about to enable the tenants to store their refuse on site in that service area you see. You'll see in that ground floor plan that we are maintaining the significant historic storefront configuration, which meets the required 2 means of egress for the tenant. The sticking point, however, is that we have to provide a code-compliant building that is fire-rated, secure, and directly accesses the public right-of-way from the mezzanine and second-floor residential units. As you may be aware, most of the buildings throughout the business corridor were originally constructed or altered at a later time with a separate second-story access door. If you go to page 2, we can see a few images within a 2-block radius of this building that all provide separate means of entrance to that second floor that are not through that primary tenant, primary mercantile space in the ground floor. Code will not allow us to egress at the rear of the building as the lane does not have a sidewalk. So I've included some language here directly from the National Park Service Secretary of Interior Standards, which I will paraphrase. Some exterior and interior alterations to a historic building are generally needed to ensure its continued use and that such alterations do not radically change features. Additionally, the standards provide guidance on code required work and recommends sensitive solutions to meeting these code requirements. Go to the next page, please. So these were our guiding principles to ensure its continued use and providing a sensitive solution in our decision to convert the window to a door rather than alter the historic configuration and features of that historic storefront, which would include the indisputably significant historic floor signage, as you can see in that top left corner, albeit dark, which was original to the building. We have modified the design to maintain the same head height, as you can see in this updated elevation, rather than alter the historic configuration and features of this historic storefront. Ooh. So we modified it. You see now it's 7 feet instead of 8, so we're removing fewer materials. Thank you. Yeah, thanks for doing that. And we've also minimized, reduced the size of the metal canopy, although we would strongly prefer the installation of the full canopy, as we feel like it complements and unifies the fenestration, this fenestration grouping. Go back out to number 4, please, page 4. Thank you. There are numerous examples throughout downtown Savannah and of new and modified openings. Directly across the street, the two top images at 25 East Broughton. The MPC has approved the modification of the east facade to allow a new access door and side light, which you can see in the historic images and the existing conditions differ. Three new openings were created along another secondary facade at 30 Barnard Street, removing historic brick in order to provide a view of the adjacent square beyond. Similarly, at 27 Montgomery, three new openings were allowed in order to provide a visual connection to the adjacent square, as well as allowing existing openings to be enlarged to provide adequate and code compliant door width. These changes, all consistent with the Secretary of Interior standards and the design guidelines, modified and removed historic materials as minimally and sensitively as possible in order to ensure its continued use of these buildings. Page 5, please. So the next recommendation was to revise the replacement windows of the second floor and the front and side facades to feature the historic configuration of the paired 3-light transom over a 12-light window. As staff has stated, the existing windows were removed at some time and inoperable metal storefront windows were installed. It is our intention to replace these non-contributing metal windows with more appropriate operable wood casement windows rather with a transom above, and those historic windows no longer exist. So that's not an option for us, unfortunately. While the multi-pane windows may be personally preferred, the work proposed is not that of a restoration, but rather a rehabilitation. The Secretary of Interior standards, which again I've put there, you guys can read, it states the replacement windows may be an accurate restoration using historical, pictorial, or physical documentation, or be a new design that is compatible with the window openings and the historic character of the building. For the same reason, we are not reinstalling the vitrolite storefront glass at the ground floor. We feel that the installation of new and compatible windows in the same openings is fully compliant with Secretary of Interior Standard Number 9. We have encouraged the owner to make many of these changes to improve the integrity while concurrently trying to manage the budget. And we would prefer to see these improved casement windows rather than keeping a non-compliant storefront. Page 6, please. The next recommendation was to revise the replacement windows at the top row of the lane to be 1/1 double hung windows. As you can see in these revised elevations, we can accommodate this change to the new design. However, after receiving staff's recommendation, we surveyed the lane and we determined that the 3 foot and 8 inch width of these windows would actually be more likely a casement window with a central mullion. So we'd like the opportunity to work with that with staff. It's just an unusually wide window to be double hung. So we're thinking that might be the more appropriate installation. Next page. Another condition was to infill the three, recommendation was to infill the three openings at the bottom row of the lane facade with windows rather than stucco. As you can see in these photos from the existing lane, it's located at the corner of a highly trafficked Drayton Street and Broaden Lane. It's a regular route for garbage trucks and other service vehicles. There was no sidewalk, and as you can see from the photos, plenty of graffiti, dirt, and damage, as you would expect from a functional service lane. Furthermore, in the top right corner, you can see the Sanborn map illustrates that the windows located at the rear once had iron shutters. Likely, for the same reason, we are looking to provide security at the building at this ground level service area. Under the current design, the windows would be located at the basement storage stair and service area, not a space designated for activating the street through transparency like a storefront would. Furthermore, as security bars are not permitted, there is both a security concern as well as that of damage from the trucks and other vehicles that frequently move through here. There doesn't seem to be a need to justify the high probability of this being a continued maintenance issue. And while stucco was listed as the infill material, we are more than willing to install brick if that is a preferred material. You can go to the next page. And the last three, to provide the paint color for wood storefronts, to provide the color selection for the fabric awnings, and to submit a separate COA package. The paint color we will be using as indicated in the application, the urban bronze color, and we'd be happy once a tenant is selected for this ground floor to provide a fabric sample at that time. And we will be submitting at that same time with that same tenant information, a COA for the signage. I thank you, and I'm happy to answer any questions and provide additional information if needed.
Thank you, Ms. Schminke. Any questions for the petitioner? Okay. All right. We'll now allow for members of the public. If you would, again, use the raise your hand feature on the control panel and then wait until you're called upon and state your name for the record. We will start with you, Mr. Arve.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, members of the board. On behalf of our architectural review committee, we want to thank Elizabeth and Lynch Associates for taking the time to meet with us. We always feel it's productive and beneficial to meet ahead of time and discuss projects. And we have three things that came out of our ARC discussion that we wanted the HDBR to hear. Number one, we are in agreement with the staff recommendations regarding the windows on the second floor. Certainly, I don't think anybody likes the storefront windows that are currently there. But unfortunately, in replacing the windows with the proposed design is, while better, is not much better. And we strongly encourage the applicant and the building owner to replicate those original multi-pane windows. It was done to great effect, just catty-corner from that, on one of Ben Carter's projects from 2014. And it makes a real difference about the overall visual appeal of the building and are far more visually compatible. So we hope the HDBR will follow that staff recommendation. As to our other two points, we are in agreement with the applicant pertaining to the side door. While unfortunate to lose that configuration of four windows, we think that is probably the best and most sensitive place for that door to access the upstairs apartment, which will now be a separate use. And we think that it's done in a sensitive and thoughtful way, and think that it's appropriate. And our third point regarding the rear of the property, we feel that given the intended use, it's appropriate to infill those three windows along the bottom, so long as it's brick. ARC felt very strongly that brick would be an appropriate infill given the the numerous blind windows along the commercial Broughton corridor, and feel that that is still in keeping with secretary standards. So we would agree on that, those two points with the applicant, but I would like to see those multi-pane windows up above. Thank you for your time.
Thank you, Mr. Arvid. Are there any more members of the public that wish to comment on this petition? Okay, seeing no hands, would the petitioner like to respond to public comment?
I don't think so. There weren't any questions. I think the Historic Savannah Foundation, again, for their time.
Okay, if you can hang on one more second, we actually did get a late public comment request. Chastity Malloy, please.
Thank you so much. I appreciate it. Yes, thank you for catching that. My hand was up there for a second. I thought I kind of missed my chance to kind of plug in. So I just want to thank the board and the staff for the work on preparing this today. Did I state my name for the record? It's Chastity Malloy. Regarding the property and the petitioner's comments, I would stress that we do follow staff's recommendation to maintain the window configuration on the second floor and the window recommendation for the infill blocks towards the rear of the property. I think since the intended use of the property is not known, the petitioner's arguments with regards to security concerns are a bit egregious. So I recommend that those are infilled with windows. I think that will be a benefit to that block, that corner, and I think it will be an increased safety feature personally. Additionally, going back to the window materials that are going to be transformed into wood, I agree that's certainly historically compatible, but I believe that although no existing windows remain, we do have historical references as to what was there, and I think as close as possible to imitating that while also being sensitive towards modern conveniences with regards to window installations. I do feel strongly that the double, especially towards the rear, the double hung windows should be maintained as recommended by the staff. So on that note, I'll wrap up my comments and thank you all so much for your time.
Thank you. Ms. Schmincke, would you like to respond to the public comment?
Sure. I believe the comment was about the ground floor windows maintaining as glass. So if that is the case, I'll just say it really is a maintenance issue, and the intention of having glazing at a storefront or otherwise is really to activate the pedestrian experience and activate the street. And that's just not the case here at the Lane. So while it is the case in the upper floors, because we can ensure security and there isn't as much of a concern about rocks or any other service vehicles in that lane causing a constant damage or whatever or otherwise, it's just really at this ground level where it's just so close to the ground that we would like to consider an infill rather than glass.
All right, thank you. Okay, at this time we're going to go into board discussion, so no further public comment will be received. And again, we structure board discussion by going around to each board member twice to submit comment. We'll start with you, Ms. Memory.
I agree with staff's recommendation, except for the door. I am sympathetic to the need to rehabilitate this building to get tenants. And I also am sympathetic to the concerns about security and safety and just maintaining the glazing on the bottom windows in the rear facade. So other than that, I agree with staff's recommendations.
Thank you, Ms. Memory. Mr. Dodge?
I echo Ms. Memory's comments, agreeing with staff's recommendations, but also agree with the petitioner about the door and the safety concern with the windows at the ground level.
Okay, thank you. Mr. Hu?
Well, it seems like you're going to have three in a row because I also agree with the staff's recommendations, but reiterate the concerns that the two previous board members had about the door in the back and the glass versus brick or stucco on the windows. I would disagree with staff on those two. Thanks.
Okay. Thank you. Ms. Isaacs?
I also agree with staff's comments and agree with everybody else on the board about the Drayton Street entrance. I do agree that the rear windows on the base should be infilled, but I do think they should be infilled with brick, not stucco. And otherwise, I don't have any other comments.
Thank you. And Mr. Bodick?
I'm in support of the petitioner's request for the infill on those rear windows. I think that's reasonable. Equally, I'm in support of the door to access the second floor, and I have no objection to staff's insistence on the windows replicating what they have, what they were infills. So I guess I'm in agreement with everybody else.
All right, thank you. We're going to go back around real quick to see if anybody has anything else to add. Ms. Memory?
No further comments.
All right. Mr. Dodge?
Nothing further.
Mr. Hu?
Nothing further.
Ms. Isaacs?
No further comments.
Okay. Mr. Bodick?
No comment.
Thank you. So if that is the case, and everybody's minds and hearts are clear in that regard, we will now entertain a motion.
Mr. Stevens, this is Mr. Hool.
Yes, sir.
I move that the Savannah Downtown Historic Board of Review approve the petition 21-003566 COA at 103 East Broughton Street, provided that conditions outlined in the staff recommendation are met, with the exception of number four, which I would revise to say infill the three openings on the bottom row of the lane facade with brick rather than stucco, and I don't see the issue about the door in the back as part of the condition, part of the conditions.
That's item number one.
I apologize. I was looking down further. And to agree with the petitioner for the installation of a door to replace one of the accent windows on the Drayton Street facade.
Okay. Also, let me restate it just to make sure everybody's clear. So you would like to approve with conditions as outlined in the staff review, with the exception of In item number four, we would like to change that to where the infill will be permitted on the bottom three windows and specify that be infilled with brick. And then additionally, I'm assuming we want to strike number one and say that allow for one of the windows, one of the windows to be replaced with an entry door on the Drayton Street side. Is that correct?
That's correct.
And I'll second that motion.
Let me back up, because I don't know if we can completely strike number one. Because number one is saying maintain the existing configuration of the four square accent windows on the Drayton Street side facade and remove the proposed mantle canopy.
Yeah, you can. That's basically just saying not to alter that facade, whereas you okay. all want to allow the alterations that they're proposing. So yeah, okay. you can okay. remove that one.
Okay, so I'll restate it one more time just for the record's sake. So we want to, Mr. Hu has made a motion to approve with conditions as outlined in the staff review, with the exception of item number one. He wants to modify item number four to read that the infill on the three openings on the bottom row of the lane facade with windows will be infilled with brick. And you want to add a condition that will allow for the Drayton Street facade to be accepted as presented by the petitioner.
Could I make a comment about that too? Could we specify the reduced size metal canopy presented by the petitioner to the board?
Oh, you said reduce the size?
What they presented to us was reducing the size from the original submission.
Yeah, so I mean, if they do it as presented, then that should be covered, correct?
Yeah.
Okay, just making sure. So we should be good, Ms. Memory. I think we're covered there because the record will show that it is supposed to be implemented the way it was presented. And if that's good and everybody's okay with that, then we will now entertain a second.
I'll second. This is Ellie.
Thank you, Ms. Isaacs. All right, if everybody's clear on the motion, is there any discussion on that motion? Okay, hearing none, we'll go ahead and entertain a vote. We'll start with you, Ms. Memory. How do you vote?
Aye.
Thank you, Mr. Dodge.
Aye.
Thank you. Mr. Hu.
Aye.
Thank you. Ms. Isaacs.
Aye.
Thank you. And Mr. Bodick.
Aye.
All right, motion carries and the project is approved with conditions. Thank you, Ms. Schminke. Move on to the next item on the agenda, and that is the petition of Pantheon ADC and petition number 21-002857-COA, lot 6, Decker Ward tithing lot, new construction part 1, and special exception request.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman and members of the board. This is Olivia Arfuso. I'll be presenting the petition for new construction part 1 on lot 6 of Decker Ward. The petition was originally docketed for June 9th, 2021. However, the petitioner requested to be continued to the July 14th, 2021 HDBR regular meeting. The new construction will be a 5-story building located on the east-west connecting street, West Bryan Street on Ellis Square. The new construction will be approximately 4,800 square feet. The petitioner is also requesting a special exception from the large-scale development standard as follows. Incorporate recesses within the wall plane. Building frontage shall be limited to 30 feet with recesses of at least 12 feet in width and 4 feet in depth. Recesses shall extend to the ground or begin immediately above the ground floor. This is to allow for 7 feet, 2 inch wide recesses along the West Bryan Street frontage, as well as 2 feet, 8 inch deep recesses along West Bryan Street, and for 2 feet deep recesses along Barnard Street. The lot size is approximately 55 feet wide and 90 feet deep. The height of the first floor will have an exterior expression of approximately 16 feet, and floors 2 through 4 will have an expression of approximately 14 feet. The proposed new construction will consist of a full basement, 4 levels of intermediate floors, and a partial 5th floor with rooftop leisure space. Therefore, the overall expression will be that of a 5-story building. The new construction will be located in the DCBD zoning district and has a 6-story height maximum as defined by the height map. Regarding the special exception request, staff has determined that historic precedent does exist within Decker Ward for recesses less than 4 feet in depth, such as a portion of Hotel Indigo, the Five Oaks Tap Room at 225 West Bay Street. Due to the pre-existing parking garage, the new construction footprint is constricted to limited lot size. Therefore, the recess standards as written would take up 8 to 10% of the gross square footage available. Large recesses on a lot of this size would not be consistent with the historic buildings on lots of similar size. Also, this special exception would not be detrimental to the public interest, health, safety, welfare, function, and will not affect the appearance of the adjacent uses or the general vicinity. Staff had no concerns regarding the base zoning district development standards for the DCBD zoning district. Regarding the visual compatibility criteria, staff has determined that the overall proportion of the front facade, the proportion of the paired windows, and the excessive use of large voids will take inspiration from the Morning News Building, which is a contributing resource located nearby in Decker Ward. The 5th story is proposed to have a variation in height and roofline. The centralized section of the building is proposed to read as a full 5th story, while the bays on the far ends will only have a raised parapet, again to allow for those outdoor leisure areas. Staff has determined that the scale of the 5th floor parapet wall as drawn seems lower than other parapets within Decker Ward. So staff recommends that the petitioner ensure that the parapet height on the 5th floor is appropriate and accurately depicted. Regarding the design standards, staff determined that all standards were met besides the standards for mechanical equipment and refuse. It is unclear to staff whether the roof units will be visible from the public right-of-way. So staff is asking the petitioner to provide evidence that the equipment will not be visible from any public right-of-way, or to submit a method of appropriate screening. In regard to the large-scale development standards, the recess standard is not met, which is why the petitioner is requesting a special exception from that standard. So to summarize, staff recommends to approve the petition for part one, height and mask of a new 5-story building on the east-west connecting street of lot 6, tithing lot of Decker Ward, with the following conditions to be submitted to the board within 90 days for review with part two, design details, because otherwise the work is visually compatible and meets the standards. 1, provide evidence that the equipment will not be visible from the public right-of-way, or submit a method of appropriate screening. 2, ensure that the parapet height is appropriate and accurately depicted in the drawings, and approve the request for a special exception from the following standard. Incorporate recesses within the plane. Building frontage shall be limited to 30 feet, with recesses of at least 12 feet in width and 4 feet in depth. Recesses shall extend to the ground or begin immediately above the ground floor to allow for 7 feet, 2-inch wide recesses along the West Bryan Street frontage, as well as 2 feet, 8-inch deep recesses along West Bryan Street and 2 feet deep recesses along Barnard Street because the criteria are met. Thank you, and I now open for any questions.
Thank you. Are there any questions for staff?
This is Stan Houle. Olivia, I just had one question. On approval of the request for the special exception, do we need in the motion to include the reasons for the special exception that were included in the staff report, or is it assumed that the reasons why we're approving that request is because of the reasons listed in the staff report?
I can answer that. This is Leah. Hi, everyone. So when we write the board decision, all of those same reasons are listed in the board decision. So that's why in that, you know, in this portion, we only say because those criteria are met, because you could look back to that section and see what those reasons are.
Okay, great. Thank you.
Any more questions for staff? Okay, hearing none, we will now hear from the petitioner. Please state your name for the record. Don't forget to unmute your microphones.
Sure, this is James Colucci with Pantheon ADC. Can you all hear me okay?
Yes, sir.
Great. First off, I'd just like to say thank you to staff for recommendation for approval for this petition, and thank you to the board for hearing us. As Olivia had stated, we had submitted this last month, and after receiving initial comments from HSF and from staff, we had thought it in the best interest of the project to go ahead and ask for a continuance to this month. In doing so, we looked and revised a lot of the recommendations from staff. I won't go through, but we basically feel that the outcome here is much more contextual building that fits within the Decker Ward. And we certainly will revisit staff recommendations for the parapet height. In regards to the mechanical screening, we did provide a diagram on HDBR part 5, which is the site context photos. We feel that these diagrams will show, perhaps in part 2, we will verify the mechanical equipment a little bit more specifically to show that it cannot be seen from the public right of way. However, this diagram does represent information from our mechanical engineers that show it what the mechanical equipment will most likely look at, but we'll certainly provide a more clear diagram with supporting documentation from our engineers to show that it cannot be seen. And if it does happen to be able to be seen from the public right away, we'll be more than happy to accommodate with screening details for that. Again, I just would like to thank staff for the recommendation, and I'm going to just allow, give up the rest of my time to allow further discussion from public and from for the board.
Thank you, Mr. Colucci. Any questions for the petitioner? Okay, hearing none, we will now allow for the public comment. If you would, again, please use the raise your hand feature, wait until you're called upon, and once you're called upon, unmute yourself and state your name for the record. Mr. Arve.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Ryan Arve, Historic Savannah Foundation. I want to thank the applicant petitioner again in this case for meeting with ARC and working through the project with us. We don't think there's any objection to the overall height of the building. It's perfectly in keeping with similar buildings within that immediate vicinity. And we also think, as staff suggested, that the special exception is justified in this case. The only thing that I would think to add, and I really hesitated adding this because I didn't know if this was a design detail or a part 1 detail, that's the small curved, I guess, brick base, if you will. It's not a pilaster, but I don't know if it's possible to zoom. Yeah, if you zoom in there on that entrance. This is a detail which we've seen successfully employed in other projects, and the ARC actually likes it on this project, but it's actually used, we feel, too minimally. This is something that we think might enliven and enhance the design if it were employed in other areas. The reason I'm bringing it up now is because we think that could possibly impact the solid to void ratio and could have an impact on massing, certainly. And just thought that maybe it would be best to point it out earlier than later. And so we would like to see that not overly used, but employed maybe in some other areas along the base. We don't want to see arched windows by any means. But that was just one consideration I thought I would throw out there. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Harvey. Any more public comment? Okay. Would the petitioner like to respond to public comment?
Yeah, sure. We were certainly going to revisit that detail in more detail in part two. For clarification, it is happening on both the lane side, as you can see in the image on the top right corner of your screen, and on the Bryan Street side on the top left hand side of your screen. The intent here is, and again, this is more of a part two detail, we feel, but the intent here is to continue the masonry detailing on the ground level so that the building's masonry material is coming down the side, approaching that curve and coming down and being under your foot as you enter in the entrance, the corner entrance between at the corner of Bryan and Barnard Street. We had earlier revisions of this internally that we looked at placing that swoop at other locations, specifically the Starfund sills. It felt like it was being a little too overdone in that case. However, we more than happy revisit it again in part two, or have a meeting with HSF to maybe further explore that moving forward. I feel that the minimal use of this creates a more subtle expression of what it is. We haven't explored too much on the interior at this point, but we feel that could actually maybe perhaps extend into the interior, which would be able to be seen through the clear glazing. But those details are coming down the road for part two for us. Thank you.
Thank you, sir. At this time, we'll go into the board discussions. So no further public comment will be received. We'll start with you, Mr. Bodick.
I don't have anything to add to this. This looks pretty good.
Thank you, sir. Ms. Isaacs?
I have no comments.
Thank you. Mr. Hull?
I agree with the staff's recommendations.
Okay. Mr. Dodge?
No comment other than agree with staff's recommendations.
Thank you. And Ms. Memory?
I agree with staff's recommendations.
Okay, good deal. It sounds like we don't have any comments, so I'm going to forego the second round. If you would like to submit comment, feel free to voice that now. Otherwise, we'll entertain a motion and a vote.
This is Melissa Memory. I recommend that the Historic District Board of Review approve the petition for part one height and mass of a new five-story building on the east-west connecting street of lot six, tithing lot of Decker Ward, with the following conditions to be submitted to the board within 90 days for review with part two design details, because otherwise the work is visually compatible and meets the standards. Number one, provide evidence that the equipment will not be visible from the public right of way or submit a method of appropriate screening. And two, ensure that the parapet height is appropriate and accurately depicted in the drawings. And move that we approve the request for a special exception from the following standard: incorporate recesses within the wall plane. Building frontage shall be limited to 30 feet with recesses of at least 12 feet in width and 4 feet in depth. Recesses shall extend to the ground or begin immediately above the ground floor. To allow for a 7 foot, 2 inch wide recesses along the West Bryan Street frontage, as well as 2 foot, 8 inch deep recesses along West Bryan Street, and for 2 foot deep recesses along Bernard Street, because the criteria are met.
Thank you. Do we have a second?
Mr. Bodek, I'll second.
Thank you, Mr. Bodek. So there's a motion made by Ms. Memory, seconded by Mr. Bodek, and that motion is to approve as outlined in the staff review with the conditions, and as well as the approval of the special exception. Any discussion on the motion? Okay, hearing none, we'll entertain a vote. Ms. Memory, how do you vote?
Aye.
Thank you. Mr. Dodge?
Aye.
Mr. Hoog?
Aye.
Ms. Isaacs?
Aye.
And Mr. Bodek?
Aye.
The motion carries and the project is approved with conditions as well as approval for the special exception.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. Okay, we'll move on to the next item on the regular agenda, and that is the petition of, one second, let me turn my page. Let's go. Can you show me that on the agenda, please? Because I printed the second, the updated agenda, I thought. Okay, it was the right thing. All right, I'm just making sure because I saw a different name on that covered letter. The petition of Ethos Preservation, and it's petition number 21-002859-COA at 127 East Gordon Street. Rehabilitation, alterations, additions, fences, and demolition of accessory structure.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman and members of the board. This is Olivia Refuso again. I'll be presenting the petition for the rehabilitation of 127 East Gordon Street, including alterations, addition, and the demolition of a rear yard accessory structure. So on June 9th, the board first heard this petition, and to summarize, the board continued the petition with the following conditions as listed below. The petitioner provided staff with updated drawings on June 23rd. So as a refresher, the proposed scope of work includes the rehabilitation of the 1869 portion of the building and the 1940s western addition. The existing windows will be restored. The exterior stucco will be patched and repaired. All rotten wood elements will be replaced in kind. The main entrance stoop is proposed to be reconfigured from a two-stair run to a single-stair run. The materiality will also change. It is proposed to go from the existing cast-in-place concrete to wood. The stairs will now have a straight run, and the iron ground floor columns will remain exposed. Along the west facade of the 1940s addition, a three-story porch structure is proposed to be added. Alterations to three existing window openings' height will allow for access to the proposed porches. The porch will be constructed of masonry base columns, upper wood columns, and 36-inch high iron railings. Other alterations include the demolition of a rear accessory structure, an auto garage. A covered enclosed garage is proposed in the rear of the structure. The roof will create an elevated deck, which will be minimally visible above the existing masonry wall along Abercorn Street. The existing curb cut and driveway along Gordon Street will be removed, and the tree lawn will be reestablished. The existing gates will now be replaced with a smaller wooden man gate. And a 10 feet wide curb cut will be reestablished along Abercorn Street, as well as a driveway for vehicular access. So staff had some concerns regarding the proposed work and the preservation standards. Staff determined that 6 of the standards were not met. Staff had concluded that the proposed alterations and addition of the 3-story side porch would result in the destruction of historic materials and would impair the essential form and integrity of the historic property and its environment. However, the board concurred at the June 9th regular meeting that the proposed work was appropriate for this contributing building. Staff determined that there were some discrepancies between the materials noted, so staff would like the petitioner to ensure that the current material selections are provided to staff for review. All door and window replacements are proposed to be Marvin Ultimate, so staff would like the petitioner to ensure that the proposed replacement windows and doors are Marvin Ultimate wood with transparent glass that has no dark tints or reflective effects, and that the configurations are historically appropriate and match the existing light patterns when applicable. Also, to ensure that the proposed door design is provided to staff for review. Regarding roof standards, staff would like for the petitioner to ensure that the deteriorated roof be repaired in kind, if possible, instead of being reconstructed to reduce the damage and removal of any historic materials, and that the overall shape and overextended eaves of the historic roof are not altered in any way. The mechanical screening on the roof shall also be situated far enough back so that it does not obscure the distinctive roof feature of this contributing resource. And regarding vehicular access, staff wants to ensure that the existing rear yard entry dimensions are not modified in any way, and that all wooden gates are painted or stained. So to conclude, staff recommends that the board approve the rehabilitation work, the demolition of a rear auto garage, and the addition of an enclosed rear parking structure at 127 East Gordon Street with the following conditions. 1, ensure that the deteriorated roof be repaired in kind, if possible, instead of being reconstructed to reduce the damage and removal of any historic materials, and that the overall shape and overextended eaves of the historic roof are not altered in any way. 2, ensure that the mechanical screening has a far enough setback so that it does not obscure the distinctive roof feature of this contributing resource. 3, ensure that the current material selections are provided to staff for review. 4, ensure that the proposed replacement windows and doors are Marvin Ultimate wood with transparent glass that has no dark tints or reflective effects, and that the configurations are historically appropriate and match the existing light patterns when applicable. Ensure that the proposed door design is provided to staff for review. 5, ensure that the proposed Abercorn Street curb cut is the property's only point of vehicular access, and that the existing rear yard entry dimensions are not modified in any way. Ensure that all wood gates are painted or stained. And 6, ensure that all stucco repairs match the existing stucco in kind. Staff did receive an email from a member of the public regarding the project. She may be on the line today, so I'll let her voice her concerns during public comment. And the petitioner also submitted signatures from neighbors in support of the project. Thank you, and I now open for any questions.
Thank you. Any questions for staff? Okay. Hearing none, we'll now allow for the petitioner to speak. If you would, please state your name for the record.
Good afternoon, Mr. Chairman. This is Ellen Harris with Ethos Preservation. Members of the board, thank you for having me here today. I trust everyone can hear me okay?
Yes.
Yeah, we can hear you.
Great. So I will just quickly run through. Thank you to the staff for giving that great overview of the project and how it's evolved. So I'll just quickly run through the changes that we've made since the last meeting. I think the feedback that we received from the board, from Historic Savannah Foundation and the Downtown Neighborhood Association, as well as the adjacent neighbors, has really made this a better project for it. So thank you for those. As you can see on the front elevation, the previous iteration of the design had a curved stair configuration, and it's been revised to a straight stair configuration. The materiality has also been revised to wood. The columns, the iron columns that are potentially historic there at the bottom remain exposed. We feel like we've developed a design that's compatible with those historic columns. You'll also note on the same facade that where there were previously the fence had infilled with two large doors, that has been revised, thank you, to one small man door to ensure that only pedestrian access is intended for that location. And the property owner intends to restore that curb in that location, and as well as the tree lawn to help ensure that. So those are all elements that you can see on that facade. Looking at the side porch from this vantage point, you will also note that on the upper floor, what had been previously shiplap siding to form the guardrail, that's been revised to have a much lighter touch and have it be the same iron guardrail as you see below, just less impactful on the overall building. And if you don't mind turning to page 20, I'll go over the changes that are on that facade. I think everything else on these remaining facades were not of concern to the board, so I won't go over those changes, just changes that we've made per your comments. So this is the view of the side porch. Again, you see that shiplap siding has been replaced with a much lighter touch. Additionally, the board had concerns about removal of too much historic materials and the conversion of windows to doors. Previously, there were 6 points of entry. 6 windows were being converted into doors. We've minimized that to 3 points of entry, so only one window per floor is proposed to be extended downward to allow for access there. You can also see from this vantage point the mechanical equipment that the screening above that staff had requested be set back further. So previously it's set back 16 feet 6 inches from the front facade, and we are proposing to set that back even further to 20 feet from the facade. So that really highlights the evolution of the design since you all provided previous comments. We are comfortable with all of staff's recommendations in terms of being our ability to that we've either met them or will be able to meet them with and submit them to review and approval by staff. So we have no concerns there. And again, I want to thank you all for your comments. I think this is it created a better design, and so in this sense the process was very successful in terms of the integrity of the building. And I'd be happy to answer any questions that you have.
Thank you. Any questions for the petitioner? Okay. Thank you, Ms. Harris. Apparently, we're all good. So we'll go into the public comment. If you would, please use the raise your hand feature, unmute yourself when called upon, and submit your comment. And we'll start with you, Mr. Arve.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Ryan Arve, Historic Savannah Foundation. Just want to begin by complimenting both the petitioner and the property owner for implementing so many of the changes as suggested by the board and other neighborhood groups and neighbors. And we agree, it is a much improved design. The front is far more historically accurate, more visually compatible and appropriate. We really only have two items that we wish to share, and that pertains primarily to the side porch. I wonder if we could pull that elevation back up again. ARC is actually fine with having a set of side porches on this property. We commend the applicant for reducing the number of doors on that elevation. But we strongly feel that the third story balcony is both visually incompatible and not appropriate for this building for a couple reasons. By eliminating it, you not only reduce the height and impact of the side porches, you'll be able to retain one more original window. Part of this is caused by the use of the iron railings. Now, we assume that the reasoning for the use of iron was to differentiate the side porches from the front and back. That's understandable. I think there are more subtle ways to distinguish that. And if the three-story porch is to be kept, strongly feel that those two should be some form of wood baluster. But our ultimate ideal recommendation would be to reduce that porch to two stories with a flat roof. We think it'd be far more visually compatible and have less impact on the building, sort of a compromise. And then the second thing, which I mentioned, is a very minor thing, and that would be the addition of a slight chamfer detail on those squared columns, just to give it a little bit of nuance. But other than that, we are very in favor of the project and think it's well done. Just think the side porch needs further study and thought by reducing it. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Arve. Any more public comment? Thank you. All right. Would the petitioner like to respond to public comment?
Sure, I'd be happy to. Thank you, Mr. Arve, for the comments. If the board would like for the iron railings on the side porches to be wood balusters, we are perfectly happy to do that. As Mr. Arve noted, it was really done to sort of distinguish, you know, the new porch from the what would be the historic porches, but we're also fine with wood and that configuration. We are happy to add a chamfer detail on the columns as well. We do feel like the three-story porch configuration is appropriate as the building had a three-story porch originally, and this is a much smaller footprint as well as lower in height because that third story is not covered, it does not have a roof on it, so we feel like we've minimized its impact there, but appreciate the comments and also the compliments. That was very kind of you. Thank you.
Thank you. It appears that we do have a couple more public comments. So if you would just stand by Ms. Harris, that'd be greatly appreciated. We'll start with Chastity Malloy. Please state your name for the record.
Certainly. Chastity Malloy, Downtown Neighborhood Association. Thank you for acknowledging my hand up. It's been up for a second. I was looking for a comment section that I could kind of plug into. but couldn't find one. So thank you for noting that. If you all could go back to slide 20, please, I'd appreciate it. Some of my comments are going to mirror what Historic Savannah Foundation commented on. It is the position of DNA that we also were concerned primarily with the materials with the front stoop, as well as the western facade addition of the three-story porch. I will certainly first start off by saying that we commend the petitioner for taking into consideration the staff's recommendation with regards to materials, particularly in this instance, the front porch. I think the wood is a lot more compatible, especially reverting back to that single staircase versus, you know, acknowledging that the curved one that protruded into the sidewalk, although historic now, wasn't really compatible with the style of the house. So I really commend you all for flushing that against the house and returning to a single staircase. With regards to the three-story western facade, the porch addition, again, commend the petitioner for reducing the numbers of doorways onto that porch and not eliminating or destroying the historic windows that are present there. I was a little bit confused regarding the use of iron here again when that material was changed over to wood and other features throughout the house, but I suppose I'm just going to guess that this is a structural component and not necessarily maybe aesthetic, but nevertheless, I don't have a problem with the third story balustrade there. I do think overall, with some of the adjustments made to this feature of the property, that the impact, especially to us, the public, is very minimum. So I commend you all for working with staff around those issues that were presented. I think that kind of wraps it up. I think this project has certainly come a long way. I think the adjustments have worked out favorably with the property. As a neighborhood organization that's residential first and residential forward, it is certainly our intent that this property remains a rehabilitated single family dwelling. So we'll continue to monitor the adjustments and the proposal as it makes its way through the various boards and meetings. And on that note, I will wrap up. Thank you so much for allowing me to speak. We're very excited to see this property rehabbed on Calhoun Square.
Thank you. The next public comment is going to be Ms. Christiana Taylor. Turner, excuse me.
Good afternoon. Can y'all hear me?
Yes, we can. Please state your name for the record.
My name is Christiana Turner. My husband Bart and I own 115 East Gordon Street, which sits immediately next door to the petitioner's plan restoration project. I want to thank you, Mr. Chairman, and the members of the board for this opportunity to speak again this afternoon. As information, our home is the yellow house on the western side of 127 East Gordon. And we want to be sure that the developers and architects understand we're thankful one of the remaining unrestored grand homes facing a National Historic Landmark District Square is going to receive the much needed restoration facelift. As always, the due diligence of the HDBR staff in their research is most appreciated. We too appreciate the efforts made by the architects to address concerns expressed during the June 2021 meeting by HDBR staff, neighbors, Historic Savannah Foundation, the Downtown Neighborhood Association, and members of the Board of Review. Among the items modified that we really appreciate, the infill of the brick wall along Gordon Street, with the addition of a smaller pedestrian gate. We were pleased to note fewer doors on the western elevation, protecting the historic addition. And we were glad to see that the front iron columns are going to be preserved. Due to the high visibility from the square in the Landmark Historic District, we still question the need for three stories of porches. A compromise, given the western elevation is a protected wall, would be to remove the third floor deck, allowing for a flat roof on the parlor level porch, the second floor porch. Also, in keeping with the wood balusters proposed for the front steps of the home. We would ask the board to require the same wooden balusters be used on the side porch. As neighbors of this grand home, we look forward to watching her restoration in the coming year. And with that, I thank you for your time and consideration.
Thank you, Ms. Turner. Now, I think we actually don't have any further public comment. And if that is indeed the case, we'll allow for the petitioner to respond to the two additional comments.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I think I've responded to them after Historic Savannah Foundation. I don't recall that there was anything new brought up that needed that I would want to respond to. But just want to thank everybody for their attention to this project.
Thank you much. Okay. Now this time we'll go into board discussion, and we will receive no further public comments, and we will start with you, Ms. Memory.
I don't have any comments. I agree with staff's recommendations and also appreciate the revisions.
Thank you. Mr. Dodge.
I also agree with staff's recommendations. Although I do agree with the petitioner about the side porch, since it was originally a three-story porch, I don't really have any big problem with it being reconfigured as such, nor do I have strong feelings really about the metal railings and balusters versus wood, although the petitioner indicated they would be amenable to replacing those with wood. So I believe that would be the preferable way to go. And that's it.
Okay. Thank you. Ms. Isaacs.
I also am very appreciative of the revisions that that they made. I feel the design is much better, much more compatible. I don't mind the three-story porch on the side, and I think the reason why I don't is because, you know, there's a third-story porch essentially off the rear facade. I also, the way that Mr. Arve said it with the iron guardrail differentiating between the historic porches versus the new, I don't mind, you know, I don't think that the iron is necessarily incompatible, but maybe a different wood design, different than the front and the rear, would also be successful. Otherwise, I have no comments.
Thank you. Mr. Hull.
Previous speakers and have no further comments.
Thank you, sir. And Mr. Bode.
I find the project appropriate as presented.
Thank you, sir. Instead of going back around two times, is there any further comment from the board? Okay. Hearing none, we'll go ahead and entertain a motion and then enter into a vote.
Mr. Boda, I recommend to approve the rehabilitation work, demolition of a rear auto garage, and addition of an enclosed rear parking structure at 127 East Gordon Street with the six conditions laid out by staff.
This is Ellie. I'll second that motion.
Okay, thank you. So we got a motion on the floor made by Mr. Boda and seconded by Ms. Isaacs to approve the project as outlined in the staff recommendation. Any discussion on the motion? Okay, hearing none, we'll entertain a vote. Ms. Memory.
Aye.
Thank you. Mr. Dodge.
Aye.
Mr. Hull.
Aye.
Ms. Isaacs.
Aye.
And Mr. Bodick?
Aye.
Motion carries, and the project is approved with conditions.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. I will move into the next section of the agenda, and that is the approved staff reviews. I will read those for the record. Let's see, here we go. Item number 16, that is the petition of American Craftsman Renovations, Cher Norris at 308 East Liberty Street, petition number 21-002-966-COA, Gates. Item number 17, the petition of Green Line Architecture, Eric O'Neill at 530 East Liberty Street, petition number 21-003-354-COA, amend petition number 20-005-558-COA, alterations. Item number 18, the petition of GSI, Mandy Brabham, at 300 West River Street, petition number 21-003-378-COA, non-illuminated sign, relocate Bird Cookie Company. Item number 19, petition of GSI, Mandy Brabham, 300 West River Street, petition number 21-003-380-COA, non-illuminated sign, relocate Outside Brands. Item number 20, petition of Amy Thomas at 600 East Broughton Street, petition number 21-003-453-COA, non-illuminated sign. Item number 21, petition of T-Mobile, Charles Paget at 322 East Taylor Street. Petition number 21-003-462-COA, rooftop antenna upgrades. Item number 22, petition of Paul Miller at 432 Habersham Street, petition number 21-003-518-COA, color change / in-kind wood repair. Item number 23, petition of Ryan Whitebuck at 211 East Gaston Street, petition number 21-003-556-COA, mechanical screening. Item number 24, the petition of Baker Restorations, Jim Smith at 101 West Broughton Street, petition number 21-003-561-COA, repointing. Item number 25, the petition of Legacy Properties, Elizabeth Quigley at 519 East Hall Street and 520 East Hall Lane, petition number 21-003-619-COA, color change. Item number 26, petition of Zeno Moore Construction, Tiger Moore at 224 West Lowers Factors Walk, petition number 21-003-622-COA. Item number 27, petition of Paul Miller at 432 Habersham Street, petition number 21-003-703-COA, shutters and fence extension. Item number 28, the petition of Ellsworth Design Bill, Anderson Resende at 315 East York Street, petition number 21-003-763-COA. Item number 29, petition of SCAD, Tony Hensley at 201 West Oglethorpe Avenue, petition number 21-003-851-COA, screening. Item number 30, petition of Graphic Systems International, Mandy Brabham at 500 West River Street, petition number 21-003-932-COA, illuminated sign, Atlantic Hotel. And item number 31, petition of Graphic Systems International, Mandy Brabham at 500 West River Street. Petition number 21-003940-COA, Music Venue Canopy, Atlantic Hotel. So we do have to do the approval of staff review. So is there a motion to approve the staff reviews?
This is Ellie, so moved.
Okay, made by Ms. Isaacs. Would there be a second for the approved staff reviews?
What else did you get done besides that?
So that was made by Ms. Isaacs and and seconded by Ms. Bodick. Mr. Bodick, correct?
That's correct.
All right, thank you. We'll do a voice vote. If there's no discussion on this motion, we'll do a voice vote. All in favor?
Aye.
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 Any opposed? Okay. Hearing none, we'll move on to the next item on the agenda, and that is work performed without a certificate of appropriateness. Attached is a report regarding work begun without a certificate of appropriateness or which deviates from a prior approval.
Mr. Chairman, this is Leah.
Yes, ma'am.
I have some very exciting news about one of them. Olivia, if you would open the report, your attachment for work performed without a COA, the one above that. Oh, wait, no, I'm sorry. You're right. Inconsistent, right? The one for Charlton. Sorry. Yep. So everybody recognize this project? Been going on for a few years. They built the, go ahead and scroll down. They built the porch, but it didn't match your all's drawings. Well, guess what? They finished it in the appropriate design. 3 years, and thanks for everyone's diligent work to continue reviewing it, and one was pretty exciting. So,
and look at how good that looks.
Look how good that looks.
Absolutely.
That's what happens when we're diligent about our charge and stay on people's cases.
Sometimes it maybe takes 3 years, but we got it.
We got there.
It there were also 3 other cases that came into compliance this month, so. We are on it.
Good, good. That's a great report to hear that things are coming into compliance.
Thank you.
Thank you. If there's no comment or anything in regards to that work performed without certificate appropriateness, we'll move on to the next item on the agenda, and that is the report of items deferred to staff. Attached is a report regarding items deferred to staff, such as conditions stipulated by board decisions and current status reports and ongoing projects. You can review that at your leisure. We'll move on to the next item on the agenda, that is notices, proclamations, and acknowledgements. There are none listed. Then we'll go on to the next item of the agenda, other business. None listed there. Is there any business that anybody wishes to raise? Okay. Hearing none, we'll move on to the adjournment, and the next HDBR meeting, regular HDRB meeting, is August the 11th, 2021 at 1 p.m. And if everybody is If all hearts are clear, we will move to adjourn.
So moved.
Thanks a bunch. Thank you, everybody, for a nice and smooth, easygoing HDBR meeting for the month of July.
That was awesome.
Yeah, thank you. That was great. Thanks. Yeah.